cloudy outside, and it's cloudy inside too, but that's okay because all our data is in the cloud. And so today I'm going to talk to you about cloud service management, and with me I have Carol Moon. So without further ado, let's play the music. Hey guys, I have Carol Moon with us today. Carol, say hi.
Hey, good. Hello.
So Carol and I have known each other for a long time. Carol, when did you start at Microsoft?
July of 2000, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I started about 9 years before you did. But you and I worked together for a long time in product support here in Charlotte. And then you moved away and you went to work for the product group, right?
I did. I spent the last 10 years in the product group leading service management for what is now Office 365. So I was with dedicated service management for a number of years, and for the past few years I've been with multi-tenant leading service management for that.
Cool. And so now you're the service management architect for Office 365, correct?
Right. I'm back in the field and came back to the field really to drive adoption and to help customers with the features that we've built into the product. So, you know, a lot of times customers with a move to the cloud, they obviously don't have experience with consuming email, for example, from the cloud. And so there's a lot of features within the product, like the API and management pack that shipped about a week ago. A lot of those features customers aren't aware of, or they don't know how to consume them and integrate them with their processes. So the best thing for me to do was to come back to the field to help customers adopt those features to enable, kind of integrate their existing processes with the cloud so that they could consume the cloud more seamlessly.
Yeah, so I imagine that when a customer, is thinking about moving to the cloud, right? I think that probably the first thing that they think is that, okay, so what that means is I won't have to manage this data center and I won't have to manage Exchange anymore. That'll all go away. But other than that, everything will stay exactly the same. And that's true to a point, right? But it's not exactly true.
That's right. Yeah, by definition, your people and processes and your technology to some degree change. You know, monitoring is a good example we'll talk about here in a minute. Monitoring, when you monitor on-premise, is one whole discussion of monitoring Exchange or Notes or whatever you're monitoring. And when you move to the cloud, it's not like you don't monitor anymore. You just monitor different things. But if there's an incident impacting your tenant in the cloud, you certainly need to know. You certainly need to be able to call your executives, administrative staff, so that they know there's an issue. Just no different than when you were on-premise. So the business needs of service management are the same, whether you're on-premise or in the cloud. And so, my role is really about helping customers know what changes to make with those service management processes and roles so that they can, you know, be delighted with the service.
Awesome. So let's talk about some of those processes and roles. I hear you have a slide deck for us.
I do. So yeah, Lex, I do have a slide deck, and let's walk through, just hop right into that thing. So service management, just as a background for everyone, the high level is there's this body of knowledge called ITIL, or the IT Infrastructure Library. That thing's been in constant development for the past 30 years. And what I tell folks is ITIL is really about best practice. So it's a lot of smart people taking the things they've learned the hard way about change management, about monitoring, about incident management, and all of those processes, and writing them down so that the rest of us don't have to learn the hard way. And so what ITIL says about service management, if service management is a set of specialized organizational capabilities for providing value to customers in the form of services. And what does that mean? First, it means as a business, you've got vital business functions. So whether you're making widgets or whether you're selling those widgets, that's a vital business function. Those are supported by business processes. So if you make a sale online or over the phone or whatever, you probably want to tell your customer that you made that sale and here's your proof of purchase. And so you'll send them a proof of purchase. That's a vital business function. And then from there, that vital business function is underpinned by business processes by services like email. And so what happens, service management really is about all the roles, processes, technology, and the tools that make delivering that service like email possible. So obviously, if you move something to the cloud, those processes, by definition, those people, by definition, because now you've got Microsoft Office 365 team running that email service, by definition, they change. And so there's a couple of principles I wanted to walk through. The first one is there's a big, big difference between an investment and things like automation between running a lot of services for a lot of users. So most of our enterprise customers, they've got a portfolio of the things, services that they run for their business. And inevitably, the mature ones can tell you these are my top five apps or my top five services. And they run those. And they may run them for 100,000 users or 10,000 users or 400,000 users, whatever that is. But they do a lot of things for a lot of users. It's a very breadth approach. Now, for us in the cloud, we're running several services with Exchange, SharePoint, Link, CRM Online, those sorts of things for many, many millions of users. So by definition, there again, the approach is slightly different. We're still doing change management. We follow ITIL internally. But the level of automation, the level of investment and things like monitoring is very, very different than if I were running Exchange on-premise along with, you know, 200, 300, even 10 additional applications for my business. So that's one principle. It's just a different level of investment in the depth. Principle two is, again, I mentioned this earlier, an entity's, so a customer, their service management roles. So what are the people? What do the people do? Their processes like change management, their technology. So if I'm consuming Exchange on-premise versus consuming it from the cloud, and that's a technology thing, that's by definition changing, and the tools have to change. It doesn't mean that if a customer is using a third-party monitoring system, now they've got to come use our monitoring system. That's not what it means. It means that what they're monitoring and the content within those rules has to change. And so it's just different when it's consumed from the cloud. And so we'll go a little bit deeper, but you know, the questions that if I'm a customer coming to the cloud, I'll ask is, how does my monitoring need to change? Or how does my change management need to evolve, right? How am I going to know about changes? How am I going to know that it's down? How am I going to know which users are down? And then also, like, how do my service desk, how do I make sure they're ready? Because most customers, whether they're running Exchange or some other third-party email system, they've been monitoring email or doing change management for email as a service for 30 years on-premise, and so now they're coming to the cloud. And so my job and what my team, we're excited to help with is to help customers shorten that learning curve between, so they don't have to go through all those lessons, learning those lessons the hard way.
Yeah, so it seems to me like that. So a couple of things that I want to point out. Number one, you know, we've been an ITIL shop for a long time, right? And we've offered services like that for customers. We did that with Microsoft Operations Framework. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've had an OpsCon consulting group in place for a long time. So this is kind of a natural extension of that.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And the beauty of it is with this is, from the product group side of things, what we've worked on for the past N number of years has been we've realized that our customers are running ITIL shops too, whether they realize it or not. Process best practice is best practice because it's common sense. And so it's like if I were trying to set out to tell someone how to make a wheel for a car, it would be round. And so customers, whether they say or know that they're an ITIL shop or not, because best practice for change management is you're going to have a change advisory board, you're going to have an emergency change process. You learn that stuff the hard way, whether you use ITIL or not. The beauty of it is, from a product group Office 365 perspective, we know that customers are going to have certain aspects of their processes and of their tools that they need information from us. And so we'll walk through kind of how that stuff works. But the beauty of the service management practice here and being able to help customers is we don't have to take a lot of heavy tools with us. This is part of the product in Office 365. Our value is helping those customers learn how to integrate it with what they've already got on-premise.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's funny that you should mention, even if they don't know that they're an ITIL shop, they're probably an ITIL shop. Because, mm-hmm. You know, remember that back in the day, nobody had change management. Once that, you know, we became more corporate oriented as a company, Microsoft, you know, we started to see things like customers, I guess what I'm trying to say is 10 years ago, if you walked into a shop and they didn't have change management, it wouldn't have shocked you. Today, if you walk into a shop and they don't have change management, you know, it's just crazy. You know, you'd be like, well, how do you make sure that, you know, you're keeping track of what's changing in your environment?
Yeah. And so that same, you know, if you flash back those 10 years ago, most customers, those same customers had change management for their mainframes. But they didn't have it applied to their Microsoft environments and their client server environments. And it was because they needed to learn, unfortunately, through a lot of times the school of hard knocks how to apply those processes. And so the same thing, now the same evolution is happening as they move to the cloud. It's how do I take my Microsoft processes like change and incident and apply them to the cloud. And so what we're trying to do here is help them shorten that learning curve so it doesn't take that school of hard knocks.
So let's dive a little deeper.
Okay. So thinking about things in models helps. And so I'll reference this, and I think just light bulbs should go off for people as I go through the slides. So there's a lot of processes. Process one maybe is change management, that blue one there. The next one may be incident management, that orange one, and so forth. And let me tell you a little bit about how we think about the world in Office 365 and how we run the service. Everything for us, you know, there's data and there's records. So there's alerts, it's a piece of data. There's an incident, it's a piece of data. It's change or release, which are a bunch of changes packaged together and deployed. Service requests for customers, our key performance indicators, all of those things are bits of data for us. On top of that are a bunch of maps. So our service maps, what, you know, Exchange front ends, the cafe servers versus the DAGs, SharePoint front ends versus the back ends, our network maps, which server plugs into which top of rack all the way back to the ag routers and then out to the internet or the direct connections to our customers. Those maps are very important. So if I, for example, if I want to communicate, this is a key difference, kind of that back to that first principle of depth versus breadth, ITIL. So for me, if I don't want to post an incident to the whole world and say, hey, you know, we've got an incident affecting 0.00001% of our customers, that's no value to our customers. And so our experience in Office 365 is it's an authenticated experience, not because we don't want everybody to know, it's because we want to know who that customer is so we can say, this is your experience with Office 365. And so I know for that tenant, every tenant, which where their users sit on Exchange, for example. You know, Lex, your mailbox might be on this database. My mailbox might be on this database. And those maps are critically important because if I said this piece of infrastructure just fired an alert and I want to post that and tell the customer that there's a potential incident for that piece of hardware, I need to know which tenants to tell. And so those maps are critically important for us. From there, we've got, of course, data and the maps. And on top of that, I'll just build this thing out. There's scenario, persona, and modality. And that sounds like a bunch of fluffy stuff, but it's not really. Here's an example. You might ask me, Lex, you might say, hey, Carol, when you were in the product group, you were accountable for service health information for Office 365. And I say, yep, that's right. And you say, how do I consume that? And I say, well, Lex, what persona are you talking about? Are you talking about as a TAM at Microsoft, how you get that information for your customer? If so, then it's this modality. This is the app or the UI that you would use to see that. Or are you a support person at Microsoft that your customer is going to call and ask for help? If so, there's probably a different modality. There is a different modality that that person uses within their tool set. Or are you asking me about your customer, the IT pro at your customer, how they consume that information? Because if you're talking about them, there's a web, a mobile app on iPhone and Android and Windows Phone available for them. There's a service management or communications API that we just launched on July 29th. There's a SCOM management pack that as a company we just shipped on July 29th. There's the Service Health Dashboard UI in the product. And so there's so many different modalities. And so for me, the questions are certainly about the scenario, service health, change management, technical escalations, that sort of thing. But my next question is always which persona and which modality. And the same questions I'm asking there are for the customers. It's for every process. What changes when the service moves to the cloud? So if I'm a customer and I'm talking about monitoring, I'm moving Exchange from on-premise to the cloud or my email service from Notes on-premise to the cloud, I'm going to say, for monitoring, what changes? I'm going to walk through this model. I'm going to say, where's the data that I need for monitoring coming from? How am I going to map that? How am I going to know if that alert is from the cloud or from my on-premise environment? And then how am I going to consume that information? If the scenario is service health, which it would be in the monitoring example, then what is the persona? How the customer visualizes that information for their CIO is going to be quite different. The modality for the CIO is quite different than how they're going to expose that information to their help desk. Because as they're migrating, as an example, their CIO just wants to know, man, are we up or are we down? He doesn't care if it's on-premise email. He doesn't care if it's in the cloud email, but both are probably still active during the migration period. That help desk guy at the customer, he needs to know, here's my on-premise view, here's my cloud view, and here's health of both of those, that so that when Lex calls me, I can quickly check, hey, is Lex's mailbox still on-premise or is it in the cloud? And let me check about his experience. And that way, it shortens the time to recovery and shortens, improves your experience as their end user and reduces that customer's cost on the help desk because they've got all the information they need. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely it does. So each of those scenarios that you went through really are determined by what your view is. Do you have a 10,000-foot view, or are you, you know, at the 5-foot level?
That's right. That's right. And the way you consume, it's all just data. And so, I always get the question inside of Microsoft as I speak at our internal conferences and so forth is, hey, where do I get service health information? Where do I get proactive problem management information for my customer? Or how does my customer get it? And so that's always the clarifying question is, what persona are you talking about, and then that drives the modality or the way that that persona or person would consume that information.
Cool. So what are some ways that customers can monitor?
All right, yeah, let's go deeper into that. So that's a great thing. So a great topic. It's one of my favorite because it's one of, I think one that, that the customers, as they move to the cloud, there's a general concern, and there should be. It's like, how do I know when this thing's down? At least if I run it on-premise, I know when it's down. And so I can call my CEO's admin and let him or her know that we're having issues. And so when that moves to the cloud, it's like, oh, man, how do I get that same information? And reality is on-premise email, it's been around forever. Customers ran email on the mainframes and then their VMS systems and, certainly Exchange and so forth. It's well understood. Some customers are better than others. Some invest very, very heavily and deeply in it. You know, some customers perhaps have synthetic transactions running against dummy users on every database. And, man, that's awesome. And maybe some of those do that from all over the planet. Certainly we do that for Office 365. But when that moves to the cloud, how do they do that? So there's really at least three questions they need to answer. I say at least because certainly it's a broader discussion. But at a high level, the first thing they need to answer is my tenant healthy? And so, when they had it on-premise, like I said, if they were willing to invest, customers could put certainly the normal, management packs and is my disk full, are my front ends healthy, or my back ends healthy. But really, as you go up that stack of investment, you would put, the best customers would put a dummy mailbox on every database, and they would do synthetic transactions for every protocol. I'm using Exchange as an example because most people are comfortable with that. And they would do synthetic transactions for Outlook Anywhere against every one of those dummy accounts every couple of minutes. And they do POP, they test the POP protocol, and they test IMAP, and they test OWA and Exchange Active Sync. They'd be testing this on all these different databases. So then they know what the representative experience is for users on those databases. And then on up the stack from there, you'd have customers that perhaps are sending emails out to the internet and back from every one of those test accounts. And if they don't get that email back within 3 or 5 minutes, they alert. And even from there, some customers, like what we do, part of what we do in Office 365, is they may know what their usage looks like at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday. And so then if it's Tuesday and I at 3 p.m. and my usage is, say, 75% less than it was last Tuesday at 3 p.m., I probably have something going on. And so customers could do all, in theory, they could do all of this stuff themselves on-premise. In the cloud, they can't because they don't control where their users are home. So even if they wanted to invest in that way, they could. And so Microsoft does invest in that way for their tenant. And so what needs to happen here is they need to consume information from Microsoft. So back to that model, that data, they need to consume that information where Microsoft is saying, is Lex, is your tenant healthy? Carol, is your tenant healthy? The second step is my network healthy to Office 365? Can I get from one spot on my, because the users don't care, Office 365 can be perfectly healthy and email's fine, but if all the users at this company can't get there because of a network issue, well then certainly the users are unhappy and the email service, they're not happy with it. And so customer needs to test, is my network healthy from my premise, at least one location on my premise to Office 365, and ideally over all the protocols that matter. From there, the next question, kind of level of maturity, is my network healthy and I've got a typo on that slide. Is my network healthy from all of my key user locations to Office 365? So, Lex, if we're the IT guys at a particular company, and you know you're in Charlotte right now as we speak, and I'm in Virginia, and maybe those are our two key user locations, we should probably be testing the network from your place and from my place. And maybe we've got another office in the UK. Guess what? Let's test the network from there so that we know. So those are the high-level three things. There's certainly more to it than that. But that's an example of the type of discussion we need to be having with customers is these are the three things you should be thinking about. And, by the way, here's how to be successful with all three of those. Not just be successful with all three of those. I don't want to bring in a tool and say, hey, customer, you've got to use this tool to monitor. What I want to say is, what are you using to monitor today? How are you monitoring it on cloud? Okay, you're using product X for monitoring. Let me show you how to do these three things with that product.
Cool. And so I imagine you see a wide range of monitoring tools at customer sites.
We do all sorts of, you know, I won't go through the laundry list, but you know, there's some of the ones normal players you would expect. Also, though, because we are Microsoft, if a customer's got SCOM, we can make it way easier for them. And so that's why, you know, on July 29th, my old team in the product group, we shipped a service management or communications API. And that way, customers, no matter what they have, can consume this sort of information. They still need to know how to think about it and how to frame the discussion. But then if the customer's got SCOM, they just run setup on a management packet. It consumes the information and visualizes it for them in a great way that's going to work for their processes. So you can handle it all, but SCOM makes it easier.
So it's almost automatic with SCOM?
It is. You run setup if you've got SCOM, and certainly you still need to understand the framing, right? So, like, for example, number three there, I don't know from when we built the software, I can't tell you where your key user locations are, right? So I can't tell you where you need to put watcher notes when you run setup. That's a discussion we need to have in a business prioritization discussion around what are your top end sites. But from a number one and number two perspective, if you've got SCOM, you run setup and you put in your admin account for your tenant, it automatically takes care of the rest. It really is. We invested heavily in the beta or the customer tech preview process for both the API and the management pack. And, you know, it squared away. That deployment process is very easy. And the reason we wanted to invest in that because we want it to be simple for customers. We don't want them to have to spend a ton of time or money figuring out this stuff. And that, again, why I came, a big part of the reason why I came back to the field is because I want to help every TAM and every consultant know how to have this conversation. And I also want, for some customers who want us to come in and say, you know, Carol, help me do this so that I can move really quickly. That's why we're here, to help them with that.
Awesome. Are there certain things that a customer could do against an on-premise deployment that they can't do against a cloud deployment?
You know, the example I mentioned, you know, certainly there's I don't like to frame it so much in a can and can't do. It's just some things are technically possible and some things aren't. Now, what is the value of it? And monitoring, let's use that example again. As a customer, I can't say I want Lex's mailbox on this database in the cloud. And so that's a can't, technically can't do. But the question is, do you want to? And should you want to? Because, you know, if Microsoft is spending tons of investment monitoring that vertically, you know, like back to that principle one, the breadth versus depth discussion. If we're spending all of these resources to make sure that we're the best in the world at monitoring Exchange, then it's not smart for us to tell our customers or we should encourage them not to go that route, because they're wasting resources that they could apply other places to trying to redo what Microsoft's already doing. And so in that case, it's like, well, you don't really want to put, yeah, you can't put mailboxes on every database because you don't have that visibility to the cloud. But at the same time, we're doing that. Let me show you how to consume the information so that you get that for free as a side effect of consuming the service.
Right. So our focus is best user experience.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. And it's how we, you know, how we give them benefit. The way I used to frame it to customers is, you know, when I was in MSIT for a while and we were monitoring Exchange, and then when we moved over this way, you know, wouldn't it have been great if we could have, when I was in the field 10 years ago, wouldn't it have been awesome if I could have packaged up exactly how Microsoft IT monitored Exchange and taken that to every customer? Certainly that would have been great, but the customers would have had to invest quite a bit. And so wouldn't it have been awesome if I'd say, hey, customer, we're going to monitor that for you, and then you just consume that information? Well, that's not really the way to think about it on an on-premise world. But in the cloud, that's exactly what we're doing. We're saying, let's, you know, we're investing a ton in being the best. So let me back up. Why are we investing a ton in monitoring? The worst thing that could happen for us isn't an incident. It's for a customer to have to call us about an incident. And so what happens in most cases, you know, there's two extremes in the middle of the road. There's the best possible experience with an Office 365 incident is we had an incident, we caught it, and we told the customers, and they never had to call us, right? And they had a great experience. Their users were proactively notified and so forth. The other extreme is we had an incident, we didn't catch it, the customer called us about it. That's the other thing that never happens, right? We invest in monitoring so much it doesn't happen. The middle of the road is where some customer dissatisfaction, if you see it, comes from. And that's, we caught the incident, we posted the incident, we communicated it, but the customer didn't know to consume the information, or they weren't wired into us to consume it in the right way. And so that's where this stuff comes in. And so you really want customers to take advantage of our investment. So, you know what I mean? They get the benefits of the investments that Microsoft had made that probably they wouldn't have made, those deep investments in the analytic type monitoring and so forth that we're making. So they get those as a side effect of the service.
Yep. Cool.
All right.
Continue.
Okay, great. So, when we're having this, let's take this monitoring example a little bit further. The first thing is to quantify the need. If I'm solving this for your tenant, Lex, the first thing is to make sure the people understand the need. The discussion that I've had with you today around, is my tenant healthy, you know, those three questions, that's a valuable discussion. The second is, for your business, within the bounds of your existing processes and tools, how should you do this, right? If you're using a third-party monitoring tool and you want to be able to monitor Office 365, let's sit down and talk about how best to do that in the quickest, least expensive way for you. And then finally from there, it's to implement that solution so that you're, you know, when it was on-premise, you're getting alerts in your network operations center through your monitoring stack. That's great. And then why don't we do the same thing that when you're consuming it in the cloud, you get the same alert, or, you know, you get these new alerts in the same console and the same monitoring stack with the same people taking action and the right people getting paid as you did when you ran it on-premise. And so some of those solutions, some of the things that we're focused on right now, monitoring incident and service desk is a good example. So that, we've talked about monitoring a lot this in this session. Incident is another one. Not only so much transactional incidents at the help desk, which is important, but if there is a major incident, how does the customer know about it? If there's a performance issue or whatever, how does the customer know? Are the right people getting paid? Is it wired up the right way? And then also from the service desk. So Microsoft is making a tremendous investment in enabling our customers to get information. So the content that you see presented in some of the tools is different for tenant A than tenant B based on the class of customer and the analytics behind the scenes. So we don't necessarily need to take a bunch of knowledge base articles to our customer. What we need to do is teach them how to consume the information that Office 365 is publishing within the bounds of their help desk processes. So monitoring incident and service desk is one sort of one bucket of solutions we're looking at. Another is customers that are moving to the cloud. Most of the enterprise customers are going to have some sort of directory synchronization, whether it's DirSync or ADFS or whatever. And so a lot of customers don't want to hook their directory up on day one, and nor do they want to invest in standing up a lab. So the great thing about Premier is we've got these labs. And so we've gained experience and muscle with helping customers reproduce. We're not moving their PII in our labs. What we're doing is say, hey, customer, you've got 1 Forest, 15 domains. Let's establish that. You've got Exchange on-premise. Let's establish that. But you've got Notes on-premise. Let's establish that. And then let's hook that up to the cloud and walk through with you how this migration would work. You can play with it. You can test your monitoring and that sort of thing. And then finally, and it's not really finally, there's a lot more of these circles, but business value realization. So a lot of our customers, you know, they can't quantify their true cost per mailbox on-premise. They can't quantify their true cost per mailbox in the cloud. And so this business value realization is about helping that customer understand, here's your cost on-premise in the cloud, and here's your savings every time you move a mailbox to the cloud. And ultimately, when you turn off your on-premise environment, here's your savings. And so that's one side of it. It's kind of the scorecard cost model side of that discussion. The other side of it is helping the customer quantify their plan. When are you going to move your first mailbox? When are you going to move your last mailbox? When are you turning off the on-premise environment? When are you and how are you going to manage these new components that you're not used to, like ADFS or hybrid exchange connectors? And so really walking through that, sitting down with the customer and planning that with them, and most importantly probably is planning the blockers. Here are the things, Mr. Customer, that might bite you or that you might want to work around. So, for example, a customer may not have thought about monitoring, or they may not have thought about change management. As an example, they may not have thought about, hey, Microsoft, if they change our mailbox size from 25 gig to 100 gig, I probably should let my security policy guys know, because that really impacts my company's email retention policy, those sorts of things. And so what you can expect from us is each one of these solutions, and again, there's a lot more. We can do change management today. We can do capacity. We can do any of the ITIL processes are in scope. But monitoring an incident service desk for Office 365, or monitoring incident service desk with Office 365 with Hybrid Exchange, or CRM Online, and just on down the list there.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah, and I think some of the things I'm not showing here is, you know, that list on the right-hand side will just get longer. One of the things we're investing a lot in right now is, you know, certainly monitoring Azure is a great discussion to have, but most customers, they don't really care about monitoring Azure. They care about monitoring their database that's in Azure. They care about monitoring their app or their service that's hosted on Azure. And so, you know, one of the things that we're moving and investing in right now is to be able to go sit down with that customer and help them say, okay, you're moving your line of business app is on-premise now. 2 months from now, it's going to be hosted in the cloud. How are you going to monitor it? Let's make sure you are monitoring within your tools. How are you handling change? How are you handling all of that stuff? And to make sure, basically, just to hold customers' hands, the ones that want it, the ones that don't want it, you know, continue to publish the public information around service management. But for the ones that want us to help them shorten their learning curve in this critical area, that's what we do.
So if somebody decides that they want your help, how do they engage you?
Oh, that's great. So they can ask their TAM or really anybody on the account team, and what they should say is, hey, we want to talk to the ITSM practice. And that stands for IT Service Management, and you know, like we started out with a definition for service management. So that's what our practice does. We're a combination of people, process, and technologists, and some people are technology lean process, some people are process lean technology, and we also have the labs within the organization. So that's how you get a hold of us.
So I guess what we're saying, right, is that if you're a customer, you're out there, you're looking at moving to Office 365, but you have some concerns about, you know, how to move, how to monitor, you know, what processes you need to have in place, you guys are the guys to go to. You guys are the guys that will answer those questions for the customer.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So that's absolutely awesome, because I think that relieves a lot of anxiety that some customers may have when they're considering moving to the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And some, honestly, you know, have moved to the cloud and they migrated and they, you know, perhaps they've lived through an incident and now realize, wow, we need to monitor this thing and we need some more work on our incident processes. And so those customers certainly, you know, a lot of the discussions I have are with those customers have been on the cloud for a while, but now have realized for whatever reason that, you know, they need to shore up their processes and their tooling in this area.
Yeah, that sounds great. Hey, listen, I would like to have you back if you don't mind. What I'd like to do is maybe have you come back and do a show with maybe using, you know, SCCM or something along those lines.
Okay, I'd love that.
Just actually, you know, let's take a look at the screenshots and we'll actually monitor a cloud environment and do it in real time so that customers can see exactly what it is that you're talking about and how easy it is to monitor those.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to do that.
Awesome. All right. Well, listen, Carol, it's been great seeing you again.
Thank you, Lex. Thank you. It's great to be back. I miss our customers. I certainly worked with some of the bigger enterprise customers when I was in the product group, but I'm super excited to be back to get to talk to more and more customers.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I love the fact that you're back. I missed you.
Thank you. I missed you, man. I miss being there, so thank you.
Well, guys, that's our show. As always, if you have any questions or comments or concerns, feel free to leave a note up on Channel 9 or ping us at topp@microsoft.com. Again, I'd like to thank our guest, Carol Moon. And last but not least, that's your Taste of Premiere.